Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Once you arrive there, search for verse number 18. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 18. And then I'd like for you to stand with me, if you would please. Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse number 18. In a moment, I'll read out loud and I'll ask you to follow along silently as I read. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says this, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Verse number 19 is the one that we will use to launch us into this morning's sermon, where it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Look at me, if you will. I'm going to pray out loud and ask God to bless the service. Don't just listen to me pray. When we bow our head and pray, in your heart, you can agree with that prayer. That way we're all praying. Now, we don't all pray out loud because that would be chaotic. I'll pray out loud. If you can agree with the prayer, you pray with me silently in your heart. I'm going to ask the Lord to speak to my heart during the preaching. When I ask the Lord to speak to my heart, I wish you'd ask him to speak to your heart. And you know something? If you'll do that, we'll all leave here, and God will have done something for every one of us. And let's pray. Father, bless the sermon to every person that is under the sound of my voice. I pray, God, that they would submit themselves to you. Father, bless me. Speak to my heart today. Still the people. Help that we would learn something that will make us better Christians because we've come to church. Not a one of us, Lord, have come to show off. All we wanted to know is that you would show up, and you have. Help us not to waste the opportunity that is before us. God, give me the attention of the people as I give you mine. Spirit of God, do what you do best, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. That verse there is a very big verse, and we could preach many, many sermons on it. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So you know that verse is not just about your salvation. God has provided for us what we need to be saved. And that's a wonderful thing. And he provided everything that we need to be saved. But secondly, he provides what we need after salvation. Yeah, wouldn't it be a tragic thing if we would bring a child into this life and then never attend to one of its needs afterwards? Well, God's not like that. When someone gets born again, he not only gives them the new life in Christ Jesus, or gives them life, he gives them a new life in Christ Jesus. He has something, not just salvation, he has something more for them. My sermon tends toward that thought today. I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story. I taught Bible college for many years, and I've overseen ministries that had young preacher boys in them, and we had had a little contest during a spring program, and a couple preacher boys had won that contest, and I had promised them that I was going to take them to Charleston, South Carolina on a trip, and we would fly to Charleston, and this was when I was living up in the Chicago area, and we'd board a plane at Chicago O'Hare Airport. We'd fly to Charleston. We're going to spend 2 or 3 days there, and we're looking at some historical sites and some things like that. Oh, they were excited. One was a bus captain named John, again, a young preacher boy in Bible college, 18, 19 years of age. The other, his name was Andy. I paid for the ticket, and we did everything that it took for them to get to take this trip. Neither one of them had flown before, and so it was all kind of new to them. We all got on our plane, and they were a little timid about it until you've flown, and if you've never done it before, it has its ups and downs as you're adjusting to it. I didn't mean to tell a funny there. But Oh, we got on the plane and I look over and they're both white knuckling it as they're hanging on to, you know, their seats as we're taking off. And they were going to fly us from O'Hare to Atlanta, which are really the two largest, busiest airports in the United States of America. At that time, O'Hare was, and then it transferred that Atlanta became the busiest airport in the United States of America. We were flying from one to the other, if you will, and we landed. Now, John didn't realize we were going to have to change planes, and then we're going to catch another plane to travel from Atlanta down to Charleston. John had no idea that he needed to keep his ticket for the second leg of the flight. But we're kind of bebopping through the airport there at Atlanta trying to get to our next flight. And I didn't even mean it because I didn't think I needed to say it. I said, okay, fellas, we're getting close to our gate. You have your tickets. And Andy said, I got mine. And John said, no, you don't have to have a ticket. I gave my ticket when we got on that first plane. I said, no, John, you need a ticket to get on this second flight. And he thought we were messing with him. And all the way up till we were at the gate trying to get on the plane, John thought we were playing around. We were goofing off. And when he got up there to the gate agent and they said, your ticket, please, he said, did he talk to you? I said, John, I didn't talk to her. We didn't set you up. You have to have your ticket. And then he panicked. He said, oh, no, what'd I do? He took off running up the hallway. Now, fortunately, our last plane was only a few gates up. But they were not going to let him back on that plane. I knew that. Andy knew that. John didn't know that. And he was insistent he was going to get back on that plane. And almost like a nursery worker, they come down walking John. And he said, they won't let me back on the plane to get my ticket. And this person's trying to calm him down, saying, we know who you are. We have your ID. We're going to help you get on this flight. I should have known at that moment, this was the beginning of our trip. They were both acting pretty tough, but they were pretty chicken, to be honest. And, everybody knows this. The further north you go, the colder it gets. The further south you go, the hotter it gets. Well, it had been in the 60s up in Chicago. By the time we got to Charleston, it was 98 degrees. That becomes important later on in the story, so you know. Well, we finally got to Charleston, and everything seemed to be going quite well. There, we went to, we got on a flight simulator at the military museum. The bad part about it was I had just taken them to the Old Country Buffet to eat. Now, they were Bible college students that were used to peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and things at lunch, and when I took them to the Old Country Buffet, they were like in hog heaven. And these guys were there, they're putting the food down. I watched Andy. He had one layer of chocolate peanut butter cheesecake, and on top of it, chocolate pudding. On top of that, some chocolate ice cream with vanilla ice cream on the side, and then he'd sprinkled nuts over this, and that was just his dessert. I can't describe to you what this horse was eating. And they ate until they just couldn't eat anymore. Then we went back out in the 98-degree weather, and now he's got all that milk and everything in his stomach. Then they wanted to ride the stealth jet simulator at the museum. You wouldn't believe what they looked like when they unloaded. And I mean, when they came off that simulator, I mean, they're both going, and it's hilarious. I mean, their face was as white as that vanilla ice cream. And I'm looking over and Andy's by the trash can. He didn't make it, you know. He gave up trying to make it to the trash can to deposit part of his lunch. And I mean, it's wild. Well, when it finally came time to come back, Andy was sick for 2 days. He was so sick. Of course, the heat, it's about 100 degrees. He's not used to that. He still had jet lag from being on the airplane. John's afraid we're going to leave him behind somewhere because and we were getting ready to fly back. And so kind of had it together. We had borrowed a guy's four-wheel drive, and it was set up real high. And so when the guys would climb in, they had to grab and yank themselves up to climb in that four-wheel drive. And I seen what happened when we needed to get in the regular car then to transfer us from the hotel to the airport. Andy went to throw himself into the car and busted his head almost like he's trying to get up in the four-wheel drive again. He'd just been used to hoisting himself up. Now, this is where it really became exciting. We got to the airport, and we were getting ready to fly out of Charleston, and we did make it to Atlanta, but there were tornadoes everywhere. And when we got to Atlanta, they grounded our flight. We were supposed to have been home by 10 p.m. that night. Now they've changed the arrival time till 7:30 a.m. the next morning. 10,000 people, and this never happened to me before, 10,000 people were grounded at the Atlanta airport and would have to stay there overnight. Now they gave every one of us a travel bag with, it had antiperspirant and toothbrush and shaving cream. We had probably not been up the hallway 10 minutes and Andy had lost his. And they gave us food coupons, and Andy lost his food coupons. We got on the air. Well, finally, when we got on an airplane, we were getting ready to fly back, and they said they gave everybody orange juice. Andy was so hungry because he had lost everything that we'd given him, even the food we'd fed him the day before. He lost in a trash can. And when they gave him an orange juice, and he got ready to drink the orange juice, and they needed to quickly take off, and he no longer took one sip. They came by and gathered him up. I'm looking over there, and Andy's about ready to cry. He's a grown adult man, but he is ready to cry. Now, they didn't realize it. John had no idea that there was a restroom on the plane. Well, I had no idea how miserable John was, because he had been on the plane now, and, you know, they got us out on the runway, and we'd been waiting, and we'd already been on one flight. And John, you know, I look over, I said, John, are you okay? He said, yeah. He said, I should have just taken care of something back there at the airport. And I'm thinking, you know, get his mom a postcard or something. I had no idea what he was talking about. We finally get all the way back, and I'm watching him run out of the airplane. I said, where are you going? He said, to the restroom. I said, you were like 3 seats away from the restroom on the plane. He said, no. Now, he's the one that thought we were playing with him, you know, about the tickets and everything. He had no idea there was a restroom on the plane. I watched Andy. They came by one time, and he offered to buy the little bag of peanuts because he didn't know they were going to give them to him free. He had no idea. He said, could I buy a couple bags of those peanuts that you're selling? They said, well, we'll give you some. He thought that was a bonus. He turned to me and said, this lady, I think she likes me. She's giving me free peanuts. Wow. All the way through this trip, it was hilarious, because everything that had been made available to them, somehow they were not grasping its availability. They were not cashing in on what they had received. Can I tell you something? That's a little bit the way some of us are with our Christian life. Do you have any idea what was made available to you the day you got saved? Now, some of you, your trip in life, you're making it a little more disastrous than what it has to be. And I've flown a lot. There are times I fly 100,000 miles in a year. I've been on a lot of airplanes. And may I tell you something? My flights don't usually go that way, like it was with John and Andy. You know, I can get on the plane and get to my destination, and I take advantage. You know, I know to get the free peanuts. And I know where the restroom is, and I know all of that, and I take advantage of that. So I know which seats I prefer to sit in. I know all of that, and as a result of it, my trip is much more pleasant. But they were not taking advantage of how pleasant that trip could have been. And I think sometimes you and I as Christians, hey, did you know that when God saved you, He didn't just make it so you wouldn't have to go to hell. He wants your trip between here and there to be as good as possible as well. The verse I read, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You say, wow, He did supply what I needed to get me saved. But let me tell you something. The supply did not stop with salvation. He has more than that for you. At salvation, we receive Jesus and what He did, His payment for our ticket, if you will, to go to heaven. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, I want to point something out to you. It doesn't say they might be saved or could be. If they place their faith in Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. That's signed, sealed, and delivered. That means that, boy, if you ask Him to save you, He will save you. Hey, just like I paid for John and Andy's way to go to Charleston, Jesus has paid our way to go to heaven. The moment that John and Andy, and I can almost like I pictured in my mind, the moment John and Andy reached out and took those tickets out of my hands, that became their ticket, and they now had a round trip passageway to get where they were going. And the minute you said, "I received Jesus," that's all you do. You do the receiving. You do the accepting. The minute you got saved, your trip all the way to heaven, it's paid for and in full. Can I get some of you to do me a favor? You remember when John, he lost his ticket and he got all frustrated and he wasn't sure he was going to make it all the way? And do you know how many people get saved and still spend time worrying about whether they're going to heaven or not? Now, I was able to say to John, I said, "John, it's taken care of. You're going to get from Chicago to South Carolina. You're going to get there. It's all taken care of." Now, folks, the day that you got saved, your salvation is secure. And you don't have to wonder, am I going to make it to heaven? You're saved. Relax in the truth of your salvation. Did you know salvation's not a process, it's an act. You say, "Well, I'm working on being saved." I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you're either saved or you're not. You see, if you're working on it, well, we'll take care of that. Let's just bring that to an end here this morning, and you need to just get saved. But don't spend all your time worrying about that thing. The Bible teaches you're not going to lose it. If you get saved, you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He's going to save you. That doesn't mean He's going to be happy with everything that you do along the way. I wasn't happy with everything that Andy and John were doing along the way. I wasn't looking at them and saying, "Boy, these are just experienced flyers. They just remind me of people that know what they're doing." I don't think every Christian, God looks at them and says, "Boy, those are just happy. Those are just happy on their journey to heaven." But I'll tell you this, you're saved, which means you're on your way to heaven. So, the ticket has been paid for in full. Some of you need to stop and realize that God saved you and He's going to take you to heaven someday when you die. Now, remember, when you get there, there are rewards that will be given out. What you do between now and then has something to do with your rewards, but what you do between now and then has nothing to do with whether you'll go to heaven or not. Because that was not merited by your works of righteousness, but according to His mercy, He saved you. But let me go on. Here's the great thing, though. With the ticket to get to heaven, there's benefits. There are benefits. With Andy and John's tickets to Charleston, there were benefits. There was food. There were other riders on the plane. There were drinks. Now there was a lot made available. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 68:19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." You didn't just get saved and you have heaven as your future. There are benefits that go along with it. Andy and John, they got it. You remember that Andy got that travel bag and lost it? There are all sorts of things that you wouldn't believe. I mean, they'd given him a razor, but he lost it. They gave him a food voucher, but he lost it. There are a lot of things that they were given as benefits for the trip, but they weren't using those benefits. They were not appreciating those benefits. They were losing them along the way. Now listen, salvation comes with some benefits, but are you like Andy and John? Are you not using the benefits? Are you not taking advantage of what this ticket paid for by another includes? Your salvation doesn't just include the flight from earth to heaven the day you die. Oh no. God said, "I'm going to save you, then I'm going to supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm going to daily load you up with benefits. Now, thank God you're saved. We get to go to heaven someday. But did you know it's not supposed to be, one of these days I'll get to heaven, but until then, I'll live down here, this hell on earth. I've got news for you. God never intended for this to be hell on earth for you. There's a life that we're to live, and that life has these benefits that are attached to the package deal of salvation, and there some of us are wasting the benefits that come along with the ticket that takes us to heaven someday. There is a peace that God gives us as a benefit. There's a forgiveness. There's an unconditional love and a hope and chances. Hey, God even in the benefit package said, if you blow it, I'll give you another chance. And if you blow it, I'll give you yet another chance. You know, I wonder how many times Andy did not take a pack of peanuts because he thought he had to buy them. And he passed them up. But I happen to know because we were on four different flights, two to get there and two to get back, he finally caught on and said, I got another chance at these free peanuts. To the point that he thought, oh, this stewardess, she's really liking me. God's a God of a second chance. I'll tell you this, salvation would be enough. If all He did was make available to us salvation, that'd be enough. But He didn't stop there. And too many people don't recognize or use the benefits, and as a result of it, they don't enjoy the journey. Folks, I have to tell you, did you know that the lost people out in the world, when they look at us and we say that we're saved, they have no proof of that. Do you know what they might do? They might watch our attitudes. And I wonder if they're watching your attitude so they can figure out this journey to heaven that you say you're on. I wonder if they're watching you to decide if you're the real thing. Now, is it possible that you live in such agony and it's always just so bad and life is so treacherous and it's everything terrible and nasty and it's just all, and people look at you and you say, I'm on my way to heaven. They're going to say, but what a rotten ride you're taking to get there. I've got news for you. There's some of you, you're just like John and Andy. You're hating the ride. You say, oh, I'm looking forward to the final destination. Well, let me tell you something. We all sing the song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, but I've got news for you. Between now and then, we have a journey to take, and we're to take that journey not in defeat, not in anguish, not in total misery. Hey, the Jesus that saved you now lives inside you, and He wants you to look up. He doesn't want you just to believe there's a heaven you'll get to someday. He wants you to believe that there is a touch of heaven on earth that a Christian gets to live. And He says, would you please take advantage of the benefits on your trip? For instance, we have that forgiveness is one of our benefits. There's forgiveness after our salvation, not just for salvation. He said in Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Oh, wow. I am so glad. I loved it the day they told me, when you get saved, He'll forgive you of all your sins. I said, I'll take that. Give me that. But it wasn't long after I got saved, I got to thinking, boy, I'm goofing up here. I'm doing some stupid stuff. The preacher's preaching and I'm committing some sins. Boy, was it a delight when He said, not only did He forgive you the day He saved you, He'll forgive you every day for what you do along the way. Can I tell y'all something? That's a tremendous benefit. We got the big package, forgiveness at salvation. And He said, and you know what? We'll just let that carry on through the whole journey. We'll make sure that forgiveness is available. Let me tell you what God does. He takes our sins and He puts them as far as the east is from the west. Now that's a pretty good distance. He then, the Bible says, He'll remember our sins no more. That's, God gets amnesia about our sins. He puts our sins behind His back. The Bible says He puts our sins in the deepest sea. Now here's the thing. Y'all say, oh, I like that. There are people in this room, you're depressed. You have a hard time with life because you've committed some sins. and you let them, you let the committing of those sins get you down. And you say, I don't think God can use me, and I don't think I'll ever be able to do anything for God, and I'm just this filthy sinner, and I wasn't raised in church, and I hardly know much about anything. And if you're not careful, you know what you remind me of? John and Andy. On the trip, throwing up, miserable. They got the package deal. And folks, when you got saved, you got forgiveness at the time of your salvation, but now you have an ongoing availability of a forgiveness. And you know, there's some people, hey, when you sin, let me tell you what you do. Run to God as fast as you can and say, forgive me. And then when you ask Him to forgive you, claim that He did and go on and serve Him. And you don't have to be in the mully grubs for 2 weeks or 2 years or 20 years over the sin you committed. But there are sometimes we'll commit a sin, we'll get embarrassed. And maybe you're a very sincere person. You say, I committed that sin and now I've messed up. And you start to fall out of church and you get away from God. And it is honestly because you sinned and you've done something you shouldn't have done. Can I tell you something? You better take advantage of the benefit of the forgiveness of God. You may make it to heaven. Obviously you will if you're saved. But why in the world be miserable all the way there? Because you're not claiming the forgiveness that God makes available. There's some of you, you've messed up parts of your life. You've messed them up. You did some things that you shouldn't have done. Why do you let the devil steal today's victory away from you because of some of your past defeats? I'll tell you why. Because you're acting like John and Andy. I don't know what I'm going to call this sermon. I think I'm going to call it John and Andy. Then I'm going to create ice cream called John and Andy. Not Ben and Jerry, John and Andy. Hey, are you taking advantage of the benefit of forgiveness? Brother Nofsinger and I were out soul winning on Thursday night. I told him, I said, Brother Nofsinger, I would attribute the fact that I'm still in the ministry and I'm still trying to serve God. One thing about me, when I go to God and say, God, forgive me, I believe that He does, and I take advantage of that forgiveness. And I say, God, if You're putting it behind You, I'm putting it behind me too. I'm not going to let the devil steal the victory of the forgiveness of God away from me. Now, some of you need to start enjoying the benefit that is attached to the ticket that's getting you to heaven. He shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I might say this to some of you. If God can forgive someone of their sin, you ought to be able to as well. For some of you, it is not the individual that's having a hard time leaving their sin behind. It's people that know the individual that won't let some of their past be left behind. We as Christians should not be behaving that way toward one another. But I see it. The ticket has benefits. The benefit, like forgiveness. Hey, the benefit of the unconditional love of God. We've heard the verse over and over again, John 3:16, for God so loved. God so loved. Did you know God loves you no matter what? You say, but wonder if I'm wrong. Now, God does not agree with your wrong. But God loves you. Now, when you're right, I suppose it's easier to love when something's right than wrong. But here's the great thing about God. God is love. God will love you when you're right. God will love you when you're wrong. God will love you when you do wrong on purpose. And God will love you when you do wrong accidentally. I think there are people that turn around and say, oh my, I sure didn't mean to do that, but that was really stupid. I sinned. Now, there are others that head into it and say, I'm going to sin. I know it's wrong and I'm going to do it anyway. Now, God does not want you to do wrong. God wants you to do right. God does not want you to sin. But when you do, it has never stopped God from loving you. It's one of the benefits. That's one of the benefits. I've got great news for you today. It doesn't matter what spiritual condition you're in today. God loves you. He loves you. That is one of the benefits that's paid for in full by God. God saved you. He said, I'm going to save you and I'm going to keep you saved. Enjoy the benefit. Stop fretting about your salvation. He said, then I'm not only going to forgive you the day that you got saved, I'm going to give you a dose of forgiveness every day that you need it from now till you get to heaven. Stop letting the devil steal your victory. Enjoy that forgiveness. Then God said, I'm going to love you. Not only did I love you enough to send my son to die for you, I'm going to love you every day thereafter, and there's nothing that you can do to scare me away and stop me from loving you. Hey, there's another benefit. Oh, I love this one. The benefit of another chance. Phew. Another chance. John 6:37, he said he will in no wise cast us out. Story after story after story of our God being the God of a second chance. Let me tell you something. People may write you off once you disappoint them, but God will never write you off. Oh no. And I'll tell you something. To me, the more someone gives those extra chances, the more they're like God. Could I say something to some of you? Isn't it a wonderful thing that God gives us a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance? If anybody shouldn't give all the chances, it would be the pure and holy one. Because God has given some of you chance after chance after chance after chance. Now, I think you're just a little bit arrogant when you won't give somebody else a chance. Who do you think you are? God giving you all those second chances and third chances and fourth chances through the years. Now you turn and somebody disappoints you and you've had it with them. You just can't tolerate the possibility of that behavior. Who in the world do you think you are getting second chance after third chance after fourth chance yourself, but then you won't give it to another human being? Hey, if a holy God can put up with us, we ought to be able to put up with each other. The benefit of the second chance. God never writes us off. He's the God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance and the fifth chance. I'm living testimony. And the sixth chance and the seventh chance and the eighth chance. I think we ought to have God's attitude toward one another. But one of the benefits, I think sometimes we think purely and we think righteously, and I want us to, but do you know how many people, if they blow it, they say, I blew my chance to serve God. What you mean is you blew that chance to serve God. You want to know why I say that chance? Because the Bible says His mercies are new every morning. When I woke up this morning, I thought, I've got another day to go blow another sermon. Eureka! Don't say amen there now. Another chance? Look, God, and I know, I believe there are people that are not in church today because they blew it a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, and they said, I've blown it. I blew my chance to be what God wanted me to be. Can I tell you all something? We all blew our chance to be what God wanted us to be. I mean, none of us were little angels the moment we got saved and have been perfect ever since. God expected far more of all of us all along the way, and none of us did exactly what we were supposed to do. But you know what He did? He said, you know something? I had a perfect will for you yesterday, son. You blew it. I'm sorry, Lord. He said, I'll give you one tomorrow. How about that? I said, I'll take it. He gave me a perfect will the next day. You know what I did? I blew that one too. Matter of fact, I've blown every one of them. I've not had a perfect day. And if you say you have, I'll call you a liar. Or the Scripture would. I blew every one of them. I fulfilled them the best I could. But I've never spent a 24-hour period and done everything I was supposed to do. There are times I said, Lord, I'm not going to forget you 1 minute all day long. It only took me about 30 minutes in. I'm thinking, oh, forgot. This is supposed to be one of those days where I walk with you. I mean, so close that I never lose track for a moment. Look, He's a God of a second chance. The ticket's paid for. The benefits are fantastic. You've got the benefit of forgiveness and the benefit of an unconditional love and the benefit of a second chance. Hey, the benefit of hope. I am glad for this thing called hope. Psalm 39:7 says, my hope is in Thee. My hope is in Thee. I've got to hurry, but let me tell you this. You know, I taught a lesson on hope here in an evening service some weeks ago. Hope is the belief that there's something good yet to come. And so you all know something? If you're alive, that means there's something good yet to come. See, how do you know? Because if God were done with you, you'd be dead. So you say, well, I'm alive. Oh, that's a good sign. That means God has something good that He yet wants to do. Hey, this God of a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance, you know what? That's our God giving us hope. God, as long as God's alive and you're alive, there is hope that there's something good yet to come in your life. And so, you know, God is alive. Amen. And if you're listening to this sermon, you are too. Which means God has something good for you. That's what hope is. Let me say, there's another benefit that we miss. Did you know that God gives us the strength to face any trial that comes upon us? 2 Timothy 6:17 says, God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. One of the strengths that God gives us, or one of the benefits God gives us, is this strength. He said, from the day I save you to the day you get to heaven, I'll make sure you get through every burden and every heartache, and you can do it in a dignified Christian manner. Mm-hmm. No trial can come to you that would overtake you unless you let it. He provides the strength that we need. It's a little bit like forgiveness, though. You have to claim it. You say, well, preacher, I was praying for the strength and God didn't give it. Oh, you're full of baloney. You asked for the strength, He gave it. Matter of fact, you didn't even have to ask for it. You don't even have to pray for the strength. He will make it available because He loves you. He'll give you the strength to face your burden and do it with Christian dignity. You say, well, I asked God to help me make it through it, and I didn't, and it's His fault. No, it's your fault. He gave the strength. You didn't use it. And I will defend God to the end about that. I've had people try to say to me, God didn't give me strength. And I said, put him up. He did too. Don't you go around blaming God that you didn't take care, you didn't take advantage of the benefits. It's your fault you didn't take care, you didn't take advantage and use those benefits. If you're down in the mully grubs all the time about your past sin, that's not God's fault. He made the benefits available. I was looking at those two guys thinking how miserable they are. I'm watching them throw up and lose everything. I'm thinking, guys, this doesn't have to be this way. It didn't happen. I didn't want that for them. But they weren't enjoying the benefits. I felt bad when I found out that young man needed to go to the bathroom so bad all that time. I'm thinking, it's right there. What's wrong with you? You realize what a mess some of you allow in your life because you're just not taking advantage of the benefit? Psalm 27:14 says, and He shall strengthen thine heart. He'll give you the strength that you need. If you say, oh, I can't do this, you said it wrong. It's not I can't. It's I won't. It's I won't because you can. If you're saved, you've been given a supernatural power that's on tap and it's available in a moment. If you'll just use it, I promise you. It's one of the reasons He filled you, made sure He sealed you with His Spirit so you would have the strength to have victory between now and heaven. So, I'm telling you, God wants us to enjoy the benefits. They're all paid for. They're part of the ticket to heaven. If you're not saved, can I recommend you get saved today? If you're not born again, you ought to get saved. And then get this ticket package. But those of you that are saved, could I recommend to you, you just take advantage of it. Stop worrying about your salvation. It's all taken care of. Enjoy the forgiveness, the love, the second chance, the hope. Enjoy the strength to make it through your burden. You can do this. The verse said, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I call the sermon, your ticket includes some benefits. Your ticket includes some benefits. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Nossinger, can you make sure that back door is unlocked? I think Children's Church often come in. The first question is this, are you saved? If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you're not on your way to heaven, you ought to get born again today. Here's the question, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If you say, I don't know that, I don't know that I'm saved, pray for me, I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand right now and say, I don't know, I'm going to heaven, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Good. If you're not saved, in a minute, when we give this altar call, you come and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Who here would say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. It's cared for." Could you raise your hand so God can see testimony of your salvation? God bless you. You may put your hand down. Hey, Christian, let me ask the question. You got the ticket. You just raise your hand and say, "Oh, I'm saved." Are you really taking advantage of the benefits? Or are you doing what John and Andy did? A miserable trip when there was such a fantastic benefit package. It wasn't just a final destination of joy. There were so many wonderful things included. But they weren't recognizing, take advantage of, or capitalizing on those things. What Christian here would say, "You know, preacher, you're right. I've got the final destination cared for. But the trip has not been what it could have been, and I need to take advantage of these benefits of hope and peace and love. God, second chance for me, and maybe even my giving others a second chance so that they can enjoy me." Who here would say, "God's spoken to my heart today about the journey, not just the final destination and the benefits"? Would you raise your hand and let God see it? If you need a moment at this altar, you will be welcome to come. Name takers, you be ready to help me as well. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need to be saved, why don't you come? You come and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're already saved but you just need to talk to the Lord about the benefit package, some of the peace, some of the forgiveness, that second chance, let me put some in there. Brother Matt, we need name takers, okay? If you need the altar, you come. Boy, there are some wonderful benefits for a Christian. You just have to take advantage of them. Don't let the devil steal your victory. Don't let the sins of your past steal your victory of the present. And I know there are people, you've taken some pretty hard hits in your past. Some self-inflicted, some not. Oh, God's a God of a second chance. God's a God that's just looking for somebody that will believe Him. And may I again say to everybody in this house, not only is God a second chance God for you, but you ought to be a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance for others, just like God has been patient and kind toward you. Oh, the forgiveness, what a wonderful benefit. The love, the chance, the hope. Some of you have wondered, will God ever use me again? Oh my, if you're alive, God plans on using you. Can I make it through this hard time in my life? Absolutely, the strength is available. Now, I want you to pray for extra strength, but I'm going to tell you something. If you don't even pray, I know God will give you the strength. It's readily available at this very moment if you'll reach out and say, "You know what? I'm going to use the strength God's given me." It's there. It's there. He told us in Psalm 27:14, "And He shall strengthen thine heart." That is an ongoing, perpetual strength that's made available at the moment you need it. If you're not saved, you ought to come and get born again. And we have people being saved this morning. If you are saved, maybe you ought to say in your heart, say, "You know what, I don't want to just reach the final destination. I want to enjoy the trip along the way." There's some of you, you have a saved soul, but you have a very, very bad attitude about the trip that you're taking. Hey, you're glad you're going to heaven. Well, how about be glad on the journey? Be happy on the journey. Thank you. And folks, you can have a seat real quick.